When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi guys, it's Gibbs and Johns. Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. This week really has been another one of those really wild weeks to be a Bravo fan, because it feels like every day, not even every day, like every couple hours, there was like another big thing that was happening. So like, in addition to us getting the first part of the Beverly Hills and Miami reunions, we also got the second part of the Miami reunion, a wild episode of Summer House last night, the Married to Medicine season finale, new episodes of Pump Rules and Potomac, the long-awaited trailer for season 2 of Dubai, and some pretty great episodes of Watch What Happens Live in between. Danielle was on Thursday night talking about the Joe Bradley of it all and his rumored hookup with Luann. He confirmed for the very first time publicly on this very podcast that he and Danielle had broken up, and he claimed that it was amicable, which was before the Southern Hospitality reunion had aired, on which his friend TJ said he was 99% sure that Joe had hooked up with Luann from Roni the same night that Danielle supported him in the audience on Watch What Happens Live. I have to take a deep breath there. It's confusing, but it's good drama. And as a surprise, Danielle herself will be back on the show for Tuesday's episode of this podcast, where we talked at length about her side of the story when it comes to what happened with Joe, what she thinks went down with Luann, how she found out about it, and how she responded to Joe's comments in my interview with him. So make sure you're subscribed to Gabbing with Gib so that you get that in your podcast feed first thing on Tuesday morning. I recorded the interview yesterday, and it's really good. I promise it will deliver. And she went into a lot of detail about her side of the story. As a hint, she said that she was literally in bed with Joe when the news about him and Luann became public. So yes, it's there's a lot of tea that she spilled with me, and you're going to want to listen to it. Anyway, in addition to all of that happening on our TVs this week, we also got a bunch of other news, like the news that Leah McSweeney has filed a lawsuit against Andy and Bravo. The next morning, he filmed the Potomac reunion, and then the next day, Rachel Levis filed a lawsuit against Tom and Ariana for revenge porn on the same day that Britney announced that she and Jax were separated. Again, my head hurts. Like, it's been a lot. It's been a lot. And because I honestly don't really feel comfortable talking about lawsuits like the ones mentioned above from my very uninformed legal point of view, I didn't really feel like trying to speak to those issues on today's podcast. I'm hoping to have the hosts of a very popular law-focused podcast on hopefully next week, who I'm in the process of booking, and they can help break a lot of this stuff down for me and for you. So I hope that that can happen. So stay tuned for that as well. Again, I just don't think I'm really the right person to help unpack a 20-page lawsuit, but with the help of people who know law, who know the legal system, who know a lot of this legal jargon, combining that with my Bravo perspective, I think that could make a really great episode. So again, I'm in talks to book some people like that. I promise I'm not shying away from it because I'm scared to talk about it. I'm shying away from it for right now because I just don't feel like I'm the right person to have that conversation without an expert in the room, basically. But as far as the Jax and Britney stuff goes, I mean, I honestly don't really care about it. Like, people seem to be freaking out about it. And I just, like, I mean, they've been away from our TVs for like 3 years now, and I didn't even really love them before. I just, they're solid TV, and they're good mess, I guess. But I just, like, I really don't care for Jax, and he has me blocked on Twitter. It's like, I'm pretty good on him. I don't believe his, like, storyline that he's, like, a reformed bad boy. I think he's still kind of the same person that he's always been. But let's just say that I feel like this news that they have apparently separated is coming at a very convenient time. You know, it's very convenient to announce the biggest possible news story about you as a couple in the weeks leading up to the premiere of your new spinoff show that pretty much nobody's excited about, and it doesn't even look very good. So that's kind of my opinion on it. Like, will I watch the first episode or two just to make sure it's not worth watching? Yeah, probably. But I don't anticipate that I will be finishing it out. I probably won't talk about it much on this show unless people ask about it in a future mailbag episode. But again, maybe they are broken up. I mean, their relationship has felt like it's been teetering on the brink for its entirety. So it wouldn't shock me if this increased spotlight on them once again has, you know, again, highlighted the issues that are, I think, within the foundation of their relationship. And it can't be easy being in a relationship with Jax Taylor to begin with. So if this is actually true, good for Britney. That's what I say. If it's a stunt, then it gets a big fucking yawn from me. Truly. Like it's beyond. But anyway, on today's episode of Gabby with Gib, I have someone on who runs one of the biggest Bravo fan accounts in the game, Maggie Kelly. She is the mastermind behind Best of Bravo, which you should absolutely follow if you don't already. She does a great job not only of curating the biggest news and like best posts from different Bravo celebrities like in her grid and on her story, but you'll also frequently see her hanging out with Bravo Lab. So she's friends with people on the likes of like Southern Charm and Vanderpump Rules. So it was really fun to get her perspective today on most of the currently airing Bravo shows. So we shared our thoughts on Real Housewives of Miami, Beverly Hills, Potomac, as well as Summer House and Vanderpump Rules. So enjoy my chat with Maggie Kelly of Best of Bravo. Make sure you're subscribed to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this, and please take a second to rate and review the show. I want to gab. Okay, so today we're gabbing with my friend Maggie Kelly, who runs the incredible Bravo-focused Instagram account, Best of Bravo. Maggie and I have gotten closer over the years after spending time with one another at the last two BravoCons, and I just love all of her coverage she does all around our favorite shows, so I'm pumped to have her here today. Maggie, thanks for doing this. How are you?
Hey, good. I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Yeah, we've had some nights together, I feel like.
We sure have, for sure. Yeah, I think it's, yeah, but with BravoCons, the Ultimate Girls Trip in New York.
Yeah, that was a night. It's been fun. Yeah, 100%. Sure. Okay, so I sent you a list of shows that I want to talk about. It's most of the current ones that are airing. They're on different stages, but you're my guest, so I want you to pick what we start with. Beverly Hills, Miami, Potomac, Vanderpump, Summer House. Where do we want to start?
Okay, well, I just watched the Miami reunion, and I think it's my favorite franchise right now. Same. It is so good. The cast is flawless, and there's like no one I would change on the cast. You know, so I absolutely love it. I think Larsa is an amazing housewife. You know, she brings the chaos and the mess that is so needed for a show. And there's not anything I would change. So I love Miami.
Yeah, same. No, I say this to people. I'm like, listen, do I agree with everything Larsa says or does? Of course not.
Oh,
like,
God, no.
Like, there's probably nobody that does. But she brings us so much in terms of instigating and stonewalling and like just kind of. She's almost like a riddle that's like that nobody can really solve, because I think that she doesn't even really know exactly how to solve it. And so it's this, I love it. I think that she's like, she is a they're all necessary, really. But
I was laughing so hard when she brought up the having sex five times a night again. I'm just like, get out of here. And Andy's all over that too. He's like, there's just no way. And he's like, well, all I want to talk about is the fact that Michael Jordan is Marcus's dad. I'm like, same. That's all I want to talk about. Like my Roman Empire, because I love, like I grew up watching sports. So I'm like, the fact that Michael Jordan's son is dating Larsa is just like, it's actually insane. And she's like, well, we don't talk to anyone else's dad. It's like, well, no shit. No one else's dad's Michael Jordan.
Well, no shit. Yeah, exactly. And it's also sort of, because Miami's not one of those cities where like the husbands like come to the reunion every year. Like they aren't necessarily like full characters on the show necessarily, but like Marcus kind of is like he films a lot with her, like he's around and he's part of it. And so like now she kind of wants the selective treatment of like not talking about that aspect of it because they don't have a good answer for it. And so it's this kind of like circle that's like feeding itself almost.
It's a mess.
It's a mess. And then I'm also kind of excited about Larsa versus Alexia. I feel like it's this like, they've been aligned for the past several seasons, like, I mean, for most of their time. But like, now that you really think about it, I mean, we saw the kernel of that in the Mexico City trip where she was like, not everybody has a Todd or whatever it was. It makes sense that they are kind of eventually at this point where they are at odds with one another. What did you make of that, of the fight that we saw the beginnings of on this part?
Oh, yeah, I am so ready for it. I love Alexia, so I don't know. I'm kind of like an Alexia stan. And so I think it's been kind of like a long time coming. And I feel like the Miami girls, like Alexi and Marisol, Lisa, all the ones that were on in the beginning, mm-hmm. they all kind of band together, even if they don't agree, which is interesting because I feel like no other franchise really does that. And yeah. so I, when they started arguing and Andy was recording himself listening to the argument, I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to get good. I think, you know, next week is going to be really good reunion.
Part two, we're going to see Lisa kind of be in the hot seat. And she had a tough season this season, I think, for multiple reasons. I don't mind hearing about Lenny. I mean, it's probably different when you're sitting at the dinner table with her and where she's always bringing it yeah. up. Like, it's probably different. But I think it's still like very compelling. And like, I understand why she brings it up. It's the main thing happening in her life, all these things. But it started to turn a little bit for me with the Mexico trip, the boat ride, the stuff with Kiki. That is where it got a little bit like, okay, I would love if Lisa could like step outside of her bubble for like 2 seconds and just kind of see it from somebody else's perspective. What do you think about where Lisa's standing right now on the show?
Yeah, Lisa, I feel like had a really rough season. And, you know, I like Lisa. And
yeah, so do I.
I feel bad for her. I mean, Lenny is the absolute worst. And I agree. I do find it all compelling. But the boat ride and just not thinking of anyone besides herself, it's kind of like, look, you know, everyone else has things going on too. And I understand when you're obviously, you think your issue is always going to be the most important or it's just yeah. like, you know, anything like that. But I feel like she's lost the plot a little bit and she's had a rough season and I feel like she's going to have a rough like reunion as well.
I know.
And I think she can come back from it. She has empathy. Unlike I feel like Larsa sometimes lacks.
Yes.
She really,
you know, and I think that Lisa has some like really genuine emotional connections on the group. Like I love her yeah. and Adrian have like a cute little friendship that like is clearly a lot like there'll be these little moments where like everyone's like hounding on Adriana and then Lisa's sort of the one to stick up for her. So like there are moments yeah. where Lisa like really can feel for other people, but I just wish that she would feel that for somebody like Kiki, where it's like Kiki was yeah. a really supportive friend for Larsa and Lisa for a long time. And so it's like, and Kiki's having this like amazing second half of the season where she's like really stepping into it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's so I wish that Lisa, I think Lisa and Larsa are kind of being on the wrong side of history when it comes to Kiki right now. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Kiki is killing it. I wish she was a full-time cast member. I'm not really sure why she isn't. Although Miami, I feel like it is one of those franchises where it's like, I mean, either is like Marisol or Adriana. So they have obviously amazing friends of, but yeah, Kiki's had an amazing second half of the season. And I feel like they're going to look back and be like, wow,
I know.
Did not handle that.
I know. Right? And I could see her being promoted next season. So then that kind
Same.
Of even more
Changes
kind of, yeah, totally. And like, I love this cast. I don't want any of them to leave, but I do think that like one little change like that could actually impact it
yeah.
in a big way. So we'll see.
Yeah.
On Miami, oh, but it really is the best one right now. I'm obsessed.
The best one. It's one I look forward to the most every single week. It's just, I would change. I just don't want any of them to go.
Like, don't want any of them
I
to
need
go.
Them all,
I agree.
It's to be there in some capacity next year.
It's a perfect formula right now, I think.
Yeah. So good.
Okay. So let's do Beverly Hills, which is the other part one of the reunion that aired on Wednesday. I loved this first part. To me, my main takeaway was like, it hammered home that Crystal, I think, really stepped into it. It's kind of similar to Kiki, actually. Like, she stepped into the game a little bit more this season. She had a couple big moments for herself, mostly with Anna Marie. How are you feeling about Crystal after this first part of the reunion?
I thought Crystal had a great first episode. I think she really shined. I mean, she really put Dorit in her place. And the thing with Dorit, I feel like she genuinely does not realize some of the things that she says. And I'm like, girl, you got to learn. Like, you can't just say everything you want. And I feel like Crystal really, like, she really drove it home, especially, you know, when she was like, well, I got married at 24. Like, I wasn't 12. And I have $100 million business. It's like, it's kind of, you know, shut Dorit up really quick because it's like, where's her business? And, you know, she wasn't 12. So I think Dorit had a really rough season. And I historically like Dorit, but also
same. Yeah.
I'm kind of indifferent, I guess, right now.
I know. I've historically really liked her, and actually for the past couple seasons, like liked her even more than I had before.
Yeah.
But this season, she just is, again, I guess it's similarly to like, it's kind of a similar issue with Lisa. It's like, they don't really want to step out of their bubble. Like,
no.
Like, it's one thing to say something that's problematic and then hear the constructive criticism and then change it and agree with it. But they both are kind of unwilling to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And I think Dorit, I don't know. I mean, Crystal, Garcelle, I feel like there's been others. I mean, even Kyle, she's kind of in a weird place with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting because I do feel like she does kind of live in a bubble sometimes. And it is similar to Lisa. And that's one thing with Miami, like Alexia came on Watch What Happens Live and was like, hey, like, I didn't like the way I acted. I watched myself back and like, I want to grow from that. And I thought that that was great that Alexia did that. And I feel like someone like Dorit necessarily can't do that.
And then the other thing with Dorit is like her and Kyle's friendship is, I think this part's really intriguing to me because it gets into like the on camera, off camera of it all where it like, right. I mean, I don't know, you pay so much attention to all these things. It's like, to me, it felt like Dorit and Kyle were hanging out a lot off camera and like they would take trips and get lunches that weren't filmed, but clearly like it wasn't as much as we thought it was, you know what I mean? Like clearly, like I'm guessing that every time they ever hung out, like there was a social media documentation of that, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. with Kyle's best friends, like in her group chat with Morgan and Teddy, like they probably hang out all the time and never post about it. So it's interesting because it's like, she says they don't hang out off camera. At BravoCon, yeah. They were like attached to the hip. I felt like they were always together. Like they were like coming in as like the chic Beverly Hills ladies, but it's clearly turning pretty rapidly. What do you make of this whole Dorit Kyle friendship situation?
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought they were like best friends. I thought they did a lot off camera. I did think they traveled together, all of that. But clearly, like when Kyle kind of brought that up, Dorit, she really didn't say much. So I do tend to believe what Kyle was saying. And I think obviously in Kyle's, all of her changes, you know, she does focus so much on like working out and hiking,
yeah,
and doing all those things. And Dorit doesn't do any of that. And I don't know how they'll come back necessarily. Also, I think a big factor was Mauricio and PK. And now that Kyle and Mauricio aren't together, I feel like that's a huge factor as well. Because I think Mauricio and PK genuinely are like really good friends. And I feel like that is why Dorit and Kyle got so close. But I don't know, the whole Kyle situation and with the kids, I love Kyle and she's one of my favorite housewives. So it makes me so sad. I feel like we've watched her family, you know, from the beginning. Like we saw Portia, she was a tiny baby. And I hated seeing Portia cry like that. If that happened to my parents, I'm 32, I would be devastated.
Oh yeah.
So
oh,
I honestly can't even imagine. So
it's really sad.
I just feel so bad. It's so sad.
I think that the point you made about PK Mauricio not being there to sort of like, because they were kind of friends as couples, you know, like that.
Yeah,
they were going on couples trips. They would have those dinners that they would be filming. Like that's a really good point. I don't think they haven't really talked about that factor on the show when it comes to like what's changed in their friendship. It's like Mauricio and Kyle don't really hang out anymore, even though they're still married.
Yeah,
and PK and Dorit are also all having trouble because PK is always in London for like months at a time. So now it's just them and they don't know how to act. It's almost like that's really interesting. It's either cameras or husbands. And now that like when neither are around, what do they do?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I do think, I feel like a lot of the times when we saw them hanging out, like the husbands were always there.
Yeah.
And so I kind of think they're the common denominator. And like I said, I mean, PK's gone a lot and I still feel like PK and Mauricio, I feel like they still might hang out a little bit,
probably.
But obviously they don't post every single thing that they do. Like, you know, they're not going to go, if they go golfing or something, they may not post about it, and we may have no idea, but obviously girls, I mean, we see Kyle and Dorit, they post every single thing they do. So,
right.
You know, I don't know. It makes me sad kind of. Do you think Kyle will come back next season?
I've thought of Kyle this year as sort of like, I've realized like she can't really help her. Like shit's so ingrained in her to like be on the show and be forthcoming and like be as honest as she thinks that she can. Like when she goes on Watch What Happens Live, she says things that like a normal person might not share, but like she just has to share it. It's like in her bones. I don't know if she has an inner to step away right now.
That's like, what I think too.
You know, I think that it's really hard for her, but it's almost like this masochistic thing where she has to put herself through it. And I think she also knows she's been through 13, 14 seasons now.
Mm-hmm.
She knows that like it can only get better for her right now, I think, in terms of like how she, because right now, like, people are turning on her because she's like not being, they think she's not being forthcoming about the Morgan stuff and the Mauricio stuff. And we've seen clips from Buying Beverly Hills where like Mauricio is like having all these really forthcoming conversations about it, which is really interesting. And so people are kind of turning on her a little bit. But like once people, if they turn on you, they're going to turn back eventually. You know what I mean? So I think that maybe she sees that she could have like a redemption season. Now, I don't know. But I hope we don't lose her, because I think that people don't want to admit it, but she is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Like, she is the anchor. She's not always like an alpha character, but she is. It's her town. Like, you know what I mean?
It is her town. She's the glue, I think. I think she's the glue for Beverly Hills and has been since the beginning. You know, obviously, especially once Lisa Vanderpump left, it's like, Kyle has been there since the beginning. She is very well connected. She is, you know, she's friends with all of them. And really, you don't see a lot of people say they don't get along with Kyle. I feel like, I mean, they might have issues with her, but no one genuinely, like, I feel like really, really dislikes her. Like, I mean, I could be wrong. I can't think of somebody off the top of my head though.
Right.
And so I would be really sad if Kyle didn't come back. I wouldn't necessarily blame her, but I feel like as an OG, she deserves like at least some sort of a send-off and like a redemption story. So if she is kind of on the tail end of her Housewives career, I feel like we need that.
I would not love if this is the way that Kyle left the show. I would hate it. What do you think of Kathy coming to the reunion? What do you feel about that? What do you think?
Random. I mean,
like, is it just like a random stunt that we're just like, okay, Hunky Dory's here?
Like, why did she show up? I literally don't understand. I seriously still don't understand. She did not film 1 second of the entire season. Mm-hmm. I don't hate that she showed up. I mean, I find Kathy entertaining, but I don't know. Like, was Kyle like, I want Kathy to come so everyone knows that we're in a good place and she can kind of like defend me? Or is Bravo like, please come so we can get you on next season? Like, I don't know. I don't know.
And I maybe it's because they couldn't get Mauricio to come. I don't know. Which is like, again, I think that's the other thing. It's sort of like, again, I love Kyle and I hope she sticks around. But I kind of think that like, if she was somebody who hadn't been on for 13 seasons, they probably would have forced Mauricio to come. But I think that she has this sort of like, you know, earned elevated status at the network and on the show.
Yeah.
Mauricio doesn't have to come to the reunion and have a sit down with Andy, you know what I mean? Which I would have loved to see, but I don't know.
Yeah.
We're just on Beverly Hills.
I know, God. I mean, and it's like, that's all we're seeing. I'm like, well, I'm definitely tuning in like the second it drops. I mean, he is sharing so much on that show. I mean, the fact that he was like, well, you're the one that wanted the separation. I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, she's not going to like that you said that.
Nope.
And like all the girls filming, I mean, I can't wait to watch that. But yeah, I do feel like Kyle does get, and I don't even necessarily care, but that's because I don't care either. I do think she gets a little bit of a pass from the network, from Andy, from everybody. I mean, you know, she probably goes on Watch Happens Live and it's like, I'm not going to answer that. So just like, I don't ask. And I know Andy really likes her. And I don't know. I feel like I see a lot of people say that they're annoyed with her. She hasn't shared like anything this season. She's just running around in circles. And I do feel like she has shared things, but then you see the Beverly Hills or Buying Beverly Hills clips. And I'm like, oh, she hasn't shared that much at all in comparison. We've only seen a 30-second clip.
Wouldn't you love to see like a comparison timelines of the filming of these two shows? Because I'm curious, were they happening at the same time? Was it a contractual thing? Was Mauricio not really locked into this because he knew he wanted to share on his turf? It's very complicated. Maybe. I would love to read some long expose about that.
Wait, yeah, that's I didn't think about that. That's a good point. Maybe Mauricio was like,
because he wants his show to succeed. I'm guessing he's a producer on that show and he wants the tea for his show. So that's another factor. I don't know. It's a very complicated mess that makes me very sad, but I obviously want to watch all of the footage that we have.
I want to see every single detail that we can. But yeah, oh my gosh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to Potomac, which is, we don't need to spend that much time on it because it's just having a very tough season, I think. And like, I'm not having fun talking about Potomac. And in the past, I've always had fun talking about it. I've had fun watching it. And this season, I'm watching it to keep up, but I'm not watching it for fun. I will say, the cast trip to the Dominican Republic, I'm actually enjoying it more than the rest of the season because it's like slightly lighter. It's slightly more dynamic, but like the bar is pretty low right now with Potomac, which is really sad. But where are you netting out on Potomac this year?
I'm the same. I watch it and I hate to say it feels like a chore, but it kind of does. I don't, it's on, first of all, Sundays I have a hard time with because I feel like I come either, I'm traveling a lot lately. I have so many weddings and things this spring. So I feel like Sundays I have a hard time with. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, it's Tuesday. I haven't watched Potomac yet.
Right,
and that's not normally how I am. So that's not good. And I just feel like they've got to do something with the cast. I feel like it's just not meshing. It's not flowing. And that makes me sad because it's, I mean, Potomac is an amazing franchise and I love mm-hmm. all the cast members, but I'm like, something's not working. Mm-hmm. This season has been tough. And like nothing's really happened.
No, nothing's
like,
happened.
I mean, it just doesn't make me excited. Like you said, it doesn't make me excited to talk about Potomac. And I feel like kind of everyone's on the same page with that. So
yeah. So yeah, because there are just like so many people who don't want to engage with one another on the cast. Like so there's so many different ones.
Yeah.
You know, we're not in charge of these decisions. Who do you like see as somebody who like, or a couple of people who, if they didn't come back, maybe it would help kind of loosen up the dynamic and open things up again?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I love Karen, so obviously I think she should stay. I think she's the only one that I get excited about watching right now. But she's, you know, I love Karen. And I love Giselle too. I mean, I think she's a good housewife. She's not my favorite, but I like Giselle the housewife, I guess. I mean, Robin is interesting to me. I don't know how I feel about Robin. I'm like kind of indifferent to her. And I feel like we don't see Robin. Like she just hides so much that they all kind of do. Like they all mm-hmm. kind of either hide stuff or they won't talk to people or they won't move forward. So Robin is interesting. I know she's been on since the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. She went on since season one. Yeah. So I don't know. Robin is an interesting one. Even like Candace, I'm like, I don't even know what, I just don't, this whole season's been so weird to me. I don't even know what's happening.
There's their little personal storyline. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I think it'd be interesting to see a Giselle without Robin. I think that would be, they've been a duo and they still have their podcast. But I think that Robin had this like opportunity this season to, coming into the filming, she had the whole thing with Juan. She had all of that. He didn't help by not really wanting to film about it, but she also didn't fully open up. I don't feel like she didn't take the opportunity to like kind of be the star of the season. And to mm-hmm. me, that tells me everything I need to know about like what we're going to get going forward from her. And like, I'm just sort
of
like,
totally.
Okay, if you take her out of the equation, Giselle doesn't have this like, you know, ride or die with her anymore. How does mm-hmm. she react to that? Who can fill Robin's spot? I don't know. I think that's somebody who I could see.
Yeah.
It helping to not come back. I get frustrated. I love Wendy, but I get frustrated with watching her this season because it feels like she won't engage with NECA. She won't engage with Giselle. That's also really tough for me. So I'm like, if we're not engaging with people, like that's part of the job. You know what I mean?
This is your job. Yeah. And that's what's so frustrating to Potomac, I think, right now, because it's like, this is still your job. You're still getting paid to do all this. And like, you're really not showing up to work. I mean, I can't imagine like going to my like former job and just like not talking to my coworker ever. Just being like, she's right there. And I'm just like, can I ignore her? Or like it's like, it's a weird dynamic
and it doesn't work
for the screen. No, it's not fun to watch. Yeah. So yeah, Wendy, you're right. Wendy, Robin, Mia. Now I am interested in her because now she has her new man who is like connected to T.I. I'm like obsessed with T.I. So I know. True though.
Learn more about you every day. Yeah, I love that.
Well, you know, I like rap. So and T.I. is so random and very off topic. But in high school, I listened to his album every single day, like a year. Like so
like the like, what people, the whatever like, you like album?
Paper Trail. Yeah. So like it's so funny because like people like one of my friends saw T.I. in like in a restaurant in St. Louis and they immediately like, oh my God, thought of you saw T.I. I was like, I love
that. That is so funny. T.I. stand up in here.
100%. So basically, when I was stalking Mia's new boo, I was like, oh, he's like friends with T.I. That's actually very interesting to me. So I'm interested in Mia. And she got first seat next to Andy.
Mm-hmm.
So
she did get first seat.
I thought that was really interesting. I'm sure Giselle was pissed.
I think it's Mia, yeah, I agree. It's like, I think maybe a season or two ago, I wouldn't have felt this way. I would have been like, okay, she kind of is kind of disposable in terms of her, what she contributes to the show. But now it's like, she's not always fully upfront or honest, I don't think, but like, she's this code that I don't think we've cracked yet. And you never really know what you're going to get from her, which, as we know, makes for good reality TV. So,
yeah.
And she's not somebody who's closed off with anybody in terms of, like, you know, being their friend. I think that she would do anything it takes to, like, help the show and be on the show. So, and I think Potomac needs that right now. So keep Mia.
Yeah, I would keep Mia. But you are so right, though. Like, she doesn't open up about everything. And honestly, I don't think anyone on the cast does. Like, I feel like that's not good. And that's, I feel like, what this season, between them not talking to each other and then them not opening up, it's just been a tough watch. And I don't know where they go unless they let some people go. So
I know. And then even if you think about Giselle, it's like, we had that scene in like the premiere of the second episode of her and Jason at her house. And then, but then we didn't see or hear about him for like 10 episodes. He might've been on like a FaceTime at one point, but like, and then we hear, oh yeah, like we're it's a situationship. We're okay. We're allowed to like hook up with other people or whatever. Like, we haven't heard about him, and the whole thing, it's weird. It's bizarre.
It's so weird. Well, I don't even think they're together. I think it's a total fake relationship. I know she said situationship, but I still think it's totally fake. And I think he has a girlfriend. So
really,
I think so. I think he's been dating somebody for like a year. Hmm. I mean, people have even sent me photos of this girl. And so I just think the whole thing is fake and
spilling the tea.
And it's funny because I mean, I'm not out here to like, you know, post this girl and like ruin her life. Obviously, I honestly can't even remember who sent them, what she looks like. I mean, and that's my fault because I didn't
see
the photos. But yeah, I've gotten several people that are like, I guess there's like tweets, like maybe Jason's even tweeted the girlfriend. So it's kind of like, what are they trying to do here? Like, I really think it's a fake relationship.
Well, he's trying to stay on TV because he was not asked to be on Summer House and Winter House doesn't exist anymore. So, or it's on pause.
Yeah. We know what that means.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
God.
Well, I feel like that's a good transition for us to go into talk about Summer House. This season I think the season is going to be really great. I feel like you can tell that like, it's not as dark as last season. The new guys are bringing like really good energy. I think we're still going to get some like good drama from the Lindsay and Carl of it all, the Kyle and Amanda of it all. I feel like it's going to be a much more balanced, whereas like last year it was good drama with Lindsay and Danielle, but it made me sad and it felt dark and like there just wasn't good vibes. How are you feeling at the very early stages of this season of season 8 of Summer House?
I am with you. Last season, I was kind of over Summer House. And this season, I am really excited about it. I love the two new guys.
Me too.
I'm obsessed with. I think he is like perfect casting. And he fits in right away with everybody. I just really like his vibe. And Jesse seems great too. So I love the new guys. And I think that show desperately needed some single guys to come in.
Yes.
And like stir the pot. Because it's been a while since we've had... I know they had like Corey and like the Chris and all of that, but I just don't feel like they were as good of a fit as like West and Jesse right away. And we've only had one episode and I feel like right away they fit in. And then I agree, the Lindsay and Carl, you could like see that they, all the tension that they had when they were talking about going to DC, I was cringing.
I think we're going to see, as promised, I think people were saying this, we are going to see some of what led up to that decision at the end of the summer, which to everybody as viewers felt like a huge shock, you know, and even to Lindsay, it felt like a huge shock, but clearly there were things that were happening in their relationship. I think,
right.
I feel like the perspectives are going to be like, were these issues that they could overcome and still get married and work through, or were they like relationship ending issues? And I think that's kind of the big debate, I guess, and the two different perspectives. But I'm not like necessarily excited to watch that, but I'm looking forward to like hearing, to just getting more information and to like having more color filled in around the situation in terms of what happened this summer, because we don't know anything. We really don't know anything about what, but we just have heard, oh, they had issues, you'll see, yada yada yada.
Right.
So
yeah, I know. It makes me sad because I feel like Lindsay felt really blindsided. And
100%.
You know, they haven't really said much about it. I mean, I feel like Craig has said quite a few things about it, like, and other people. And I don't want to say excited, but kind of excited to like see it play out.
Just
kind of messy. So I want to see it all play out. But it makes me glad that Danielle and Lindsay are friends again.
100%.
You know, so that's a great plus. And obviously Amanda and Kyle, I mean, that was very concerning, their whole.
And it's going to continue. I mean, I see people sometimes say online that like they're tired of the Amanda and Kyle of it all. It's like, oh, another season of Amanda and Kyle. But I actually, there's something about their relationship that I just find fascinating. And the way that like, I feel like the X factor of it is like how filming exacerbates their issues or kind of starts issues between them. Because it's, you know, we see, I think Amanda doesn't love talking about some of this stuff on camera when there's like cameras in the corner of the room and it's like they're fighting and she's like aware of that. Kyle gets drunk and doesn't think about it. It's this interesting dynamic, and I still find it to be interesting to watch.
Oh, same. I like Amanda and I like Kyle.
Same.
Them as a couple, obviously they've gotten over some hurdles, but they definitely seem very disconnected. And I think Amanda doesn't like love filming and doesn't like love the whole aspect of that. But Kyle obviously like thrives off of it. I mean, he like loves attention. He loves the filming. He loves
he's
like,
a
the
Leo.
Fame. And he's good at it too. I mean, he was like made for TV. And so, and I feel like Amanda, she is just kind of like, I think she's kind of over it. And also I think she's kind of over Kyle in his 40s acting this way. Like, I think she's like, look, you say you want to spend time with me and then you spend time with this banana. Like, I was laughing. I was dying.
No, that was funny.
I died over it. But simple. I mean, like, if I were a man, I would go crazy.
I feel the same way. But I feel like it's sort of like it's this necessary evil for them. I'm guessing the mentality is sort of like, let's stick with this until the air runs out of it and we can just milk it for as much money as possible and grow our 100%. Business and all these things. At a certain point, the emotions of it are going to catch up. Are catching up to that, I think. And it's like, how do you balance that sort of moving forward? I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah. No, if I were them, I would ride this till the wheels fall off you make so much money from being on a show. Oh my gosh. That drives me. That's one of the questions I get a lot is like, well, what's their job? I'm like, well, this is their job. And it's not just the man and Kyle, but like,
no, it's all their jobs.
I get it for about so many people. People are like, well, it's really weird. Like, Lala doesn't have a job. I'm like, Lala does have a job. She's a cast member on a show and she has a podcast and she has merch and like she has all these things. And it's like, it's the same thing with the Summer House. They're like, well, what's their job? I'm like, oh my gosh,
that's
guys,
so
they make so much money. Like, I don't know how much they make, but they make a lot. And so why would you not? And
the longer you're on a show, the more money you make too.
Yeah. I'm like, Kyle, especially being like an OG, kind of like starting Winter House, I feel like Kyle's kind of like the backbone of Summer House. So him and Lindsay, I feel like are really like the two,
I think so too.
Obviously. Because Carl, to me, God bless him. The man's just not as good as TV, in my opinion. But Kyle Cook, I mean, he is excellent TV. He is kind of friends with everybody, gets along with everybody, he parties, like, and that's kind of what the show is supposed to be about. So I think he understands the assignment. And will their marriage survive? I don't know, but I hope it does.
I hope so. I hope it sticks out through filming whenever that finishes for them, if it ever does, and then they can settle down a little bit. But I agree, it's like sort of like Kyle and Lindsay they're pretty similar people, I would say, in a lot of ways. And you know, they're both kind of roller coasters, but ultimately over the years, it's been pretty consistent. We know what to expect from Lindsay and Kyle. They're going to, I think maybe sometimes at the detriment to their own relationships, they're going to give us good TV. They're going to give us party. They're going to give us drama because they can't help themselves. And I love that about them. But I also understand how that can impact their relationship. So I don't know. It's a tough balance. Wait, Maggie, the last thing I want to ask you about Summer House. So Paige was on Watch What Happens Live this week, and she said that a blonde housewife told her that she makes horrible decisions, quote, and looked her up and down. But she didn't say who the housewife was. You posted on your Instagram story who you think it is. Who do you think it is and why?
I think it's Caroline Stanberry from Dubai, because I think I remember Paige saying this. Like, I would not posted if I was not
yeah.
fairly certain. It was after, I remember it was not after the last one. It was after the second one in New York. And Paige was talking about, it was kind of like the same story. And like, I think she said it was Caroline.
But she said,
and she was like, she said it was like really disappointing because like she loved like Ladies of London and she was excited she's going to be a Dubai housewife and like she loved her fashion and all of that. And yeah, so I don't remember where, when, like what.
But you're not making this up.
No. Yeah. It was Caroline. As far as I remember. I mean, I hate to be like, it was Caroline, and then she's gonna say like it wasn't, but
well, listen, fourth annual BravoCon, if there is a squash that beef between Paige and Caroline Stanberry, we have you to thank for that. So,
and then watch, she'll be like, that's not even true. I'll be like, I remember.
You get dragged on stage.
Oh God. Oh, I would be like, I would be eaten alive. Oh gosh. Yeah. No, it's so funny because people are like, well, how do you know that? I'm like, I really like remember her saying that, but it was after it was so long ago. It was after the second one.
Got it.
It wasn't after the last one. Yeah.
Mm.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah. Very interesting. I love that kind of back channel between show stuff. It's the best. Okay. Lastly, again, I don't think we need to spend too much time on it, but Vanderpump Rules, you know, do you agree with a lot of the internet of this season of Vanderpump Rules just isn't giving what you want it to give?
Yes. And it makes me so sad because I do feel like we're kind of on the tail end of Vanderpump Rules. And I don't know if I've ever said that about a show before, but it's just not the same. It's just not the same. And, you know, after Scandoval, that was such a high. And I knew the season was going to be different. Like, I wasn't expecting it to be like a Scandoval level. But the fact that it really is all like for Lisa, you know, like they're all going to Lake Tahoe. They've all forgiven Sandoval. They were all so mad at him. And it just doesn't feel authentic. It feels very forced. Even there was a little montage of them swimming in the water. Brock had like a camera underwater. They were laying on the rocks. I was like, what is this? This is not a movie. Like, I don't need to see this. I want to see them arguing. Like, this is weird. And it just feels a little fake.
I agree. I mean, that like it was like when they were sitting there on that dock in Tahoe, Lisa came down for like 20 seconds to give Graham to James and then left. And it was just like this weird, this is going to be the big moment of like, he gets his dog back. And it's like, I don't really care. Like, I don't really care that if that's the big like reveal. I don't know. I just, it's not clicking. And I think I would just rather, I mean, I'd rather them share their real feelings and like come at Sandoval still, because it just feels like they're holding back for like the sake of like being in the same place as him. And it just feels like, I don't know, inauthentic.
It feels very inauthentic. And it's like, I don't know how they all feel with him now. I mean, I honestly think like they're all pretty fine with him, like for the most part.
So too.
But it's just weird because it was like, obviously we left off in a very different place. And this wasn't that far. It wasn't that long after the reunion that this was all happening. So it just feels very inauthentic. And, you know, the audience is kind of like, clearly Tom Sandoval is not remorseful at all. He's doing all these interviews still present day where he doesn't care. And like, if that's his journey, fine. But I just like the rest of the cast, they clearly don't care either. So it just feels very inauthentic. It feels a little scripted. And I know, I obviously know reality TV is a little like they bring situations together to make it, but still it just, I don't know. When I was watching this week, I was like, this sucks. I was like, this makes me feel sad. I feel like it's, the show's dying. The episode was terrible. And I'm like, also, where are they going to have drama? If they're all fine with Sandoval, where's the drama going to come from? And like, no one's drinking. So
no, like, that's all. Nobody's drinking. It's like, and like, again, totally, we've seen great sober reality shows before. That's,
I'm
not
all
to say
for
that
their
you can't
people's,
make, of course, 100%. But I'm, like, it's just another factor in why it's feeling like it's failing to take off. And I don't know. Is there anything about this season that you think is interesting or you like wish they would follow more, or is it really kind of just coming up zero to you?
Not really. Not unless they're real about Sandoval, because even like Brock and Sheena, I'm just like, okay, like, I don't know, them in the store, like with the argument with the nanny and all that. I just, I want to like Brock, but something about him I've always felt is just a little off. And maybe it's because he left his children in Australia. I don't know. But I can't get past something. Something's off about Brock to me. But I'm just kind of like, I don't even care necessarily. Like, I feel right. like none of them are really bringing it. Even like the sandwich shop. I mean, I walked by the sandwich shop last month in LA. There wasn't a sandwich shop. It was an empty building.
Wow.
Empty. Like,
that's crazy.
So I'm kind of like, what's going on with it? It just feels inauthentic. Like, are they actually opening this? What's going on? Like, because, I mean, this was filmed a long time ago and there's still no shop. And I understand things happen, permits, all of that, but there That's was weird. Nothing. There was nothing wow. in there. And there were like signs on the door and all that.
And it's for something really about location. Signs on the door for something about her or signs something to about like her. Rent it. Wow.
Or I don't know if there, I don't know if it was a signs to rent it, but it was just like, there were just like, you know,
nothing's happening here.
Nothing was going on there. And it was in a good location though. I'm not super familiar with LA, but it was right around like Sur and all of that. I feel right. like when we were walking, but it was just interesting because I'm like, this happened a long time ago. And there's a lot of talk about getting the sandwich shop ready. And I know things happened as we heard, like with permits, but why is there still no sandwich shop? And then it's like, okay, you know, even Sandoval, you know, I just feel like they've all forgiven him, or even if they haven't forgiven him, they're acting like they have for the sake of the show. And it's like, that's great. If you really did forgive him, that's great. Like, honestly, move on. That's fine. But it just all feels so inauthentic.
Yeah. It's also like, if you forget, like, they're all coexisting with him in the same space, but it's almost like they're holding back what they really feel. Yeah. So it's like, if you want to forgive him and you think that Ariana has overreacted and things like that, say that. But none of them are really saying that. They're like, oh, like, we want to go on a trip and do a getaway, but like, we still don't like Sandoval, but like, we're going to be having dinner with him. It's like, they can't. I don't feel like we're getting the full opinions, all these people. And like, I had Kate Casey on a couple weeks ago.
And
she brought up a good point. Like, she brought up a good point though. It was like, one way I think they could have saved this is like, let's talk about more about like the selling of the merch and the different businesses and the podcast and like the jealousy and like the competition that arises from that and like break the fourth wall that like these people are reality stars and they are trying to stay famous and maintain their show and like, but they're not talking about any of that. And I think that that would be interesting, at least. Like, it might not be the most dramatic, but at least it would be like, oh, like, we're learning things about their lives that, I don't know. Now I feel like I'm grasping for straws. You know what I mean?
I know. That is a good point, though, because I know you're the same way. Like, we like all the like background stuff. And so we see them all posting. I mean, the whole reason Sandoval, I feel like, took off the way it did was because they were all posting it so much on social media.
They were fanning the flames.
Like, and I mean, I was living for that. I mean, I literally was like, oh, I can't keep up with how much the cast is posting. And so, I mean, Sandoval did kind of bring it up, but they didn't really go for it. And it's like, you made merch, like, just go for it. Be like, yeah, like I'm trying to like feed my child. Like, I made $1 million off his merch. Like, why would I not do that? And even like James, I feel like James is really holding back. You know, James has amazing confessionals, but right now he's like holding back against Sandoval. And it's like, is this seriously like for Lisa? That's like seriously how it feels like. It feels like they all went there to film the show. None of them are really friends besides like Schwartz and Sandoval. And I think like Lala and Sheena are friends. But besides that, it's like we've never needed Jax Taylor more.
But now we're getting on a separate show that just looks pretty bleak, honestly. Like, the trailer for that came out, and I'm just like, Jesus. Like, honestly, I just would have rather them bring Kristen, Jackson, Brittany onto Vanderpump Rules again and just, like, have them try to claw for their life on the show. Like, that would have, again...
Exactly.
I don't love Jax. He has me blocked on Twitter. Like, But he is, like...
He's a good
reality TV
villain.
You know what I mean? Yeah, he's a great villain. And now they have a villain on the show that's basically a shell of a human being, and they need somebody like even Lala. I'm like, you have it in you. Lala has it in her. She is great at her job, but she's great at it. But right now she's biting her tongue, and it's just like she's not known for biting her tongue. You know.
it's not fun. It's like,
no,
it's like, okay, like we went from such a high and now it's like, it's such a low. And I feel like, I don't know if it's the last season or what, but it feels really like we're on the tail end of Vanderpump Rules. And I would have never thought that. Because I know the ratings are still good, but
the ratings are still good, but I think that's kind of like a trickle effect from last year. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It's like, where do they go from here? They have not introduced any new characters. You know, the cast, I don't really think hangs out a lot. Sandoval's so hated. You know, I have a soft spot for Schwartz. God bless him. I mean, he's a mess, but I feel like he doesn't know how to be inauthentic.
Mm-hmm. No, he can't help himself.
He can't help it. Like he's so desperate to be liked. Katie's like so right about that. He's so desperate to be liked by people that he doesn't know how to be inauthentic. He just wants everyone to like him. And so I feel like Schwartz is kind of, he's the only one that's like kind of,
he's actually stepping up this
something.
Year, I would say.
Yeah,
I would agree. Like he gets a lot of airtime this season because he's at least opening up about he's sharing his true feelings. And I feel like you really feel that. And
yeah,
kudos to him. Kadoos to him, I guess,
kadoos,
about that.
Kadoos.
Yeah. Kadoos. Okay, well, Maggie, I feel like we've covered all of our bases. I've taken a lot of your time, but thanks for doing this. It's so much fun. I feel like we're in different stages with some of these shows. Like some are really giving, some of them are really not, but I guess we'll see. We'll see.
it's been a good year, like the past year overall, though.
Yeah.
So,
oh my God.
You know,
we've been well fed.
I'll take it. Yeah.
I'll take it too. Maggie, where can people follow you on social media? Plug all the things before we sign off.
Yeah, you can follow me at Best of Bravo. And it's just, you know, it's like a fun little space. Talk about Bravo and some other things. And yeah, it's fun. I love talking with you. Can't wait to see you again.
I know. Can confirm Best of Bravo is a very fun space to talk about all the things. It's and the comment sections get good too.
Oh my God. Yes. I actually do usually read the comments and sometimes I have to delete some if they're really unruly. And I don't see everything, but I do live for an unhinged comment section about Leah McSweeney.
Oof. I'm honestly glad we didn't talk about that. No, I don't want to even talk about that.
We honestly can't even get into her. Who? Who? Leah? Who? Never heard of her.
Okay. Well, Maggie, we'll talk again soon. And thanks for doing this.
Of course.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes. And subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.